Please turn with me this evening to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And I'm proposing just to look at this second part of this verse, just this evening. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Two lives we must all live. Two lives we are all called to live. Not just one life, friends, not just a single life. Two lives, one in this world and one in the next. No one doubts that there is one life that we all live. It's so obvious, isn't it? We are living that life right now. But people doubt. What happens after we die? Many people say, or some people say, that's it. It's after death, there is no existence. There is no life. You cease to be. But the Bible says differently. The Bible says, without any doubt, there is another life that we are called to live. Not many lives, friends. You don't believe in reincarnation, that you come back many times into this world. Just one life in this world and one life in eternity. One life in the next world. Fixed by God, it's certain and it cannot be reversed. Whether we believe it or not, whether we accept, and we should really know and accept that there is another life, because we have that sense that God has given into us, placed in our minds, in our consciousness. Death is not the end. Most of us feel it. All of us should feel it, because it's a God-given feeling. It's a God-given gift that after death, life goes on. So really, my friends, just this evening, I want to talk about these two lives and describe what it's like in the first life in this world and then the next world. And especially to look at what place does godliness, because here it says godliness is profitable for both lives. And I'll mention that as we go along. But first, the life in this world. What can we say about it? Well, we can say firstly, it's a mysterious life, isn't it? Here we are, when you stop and you think about what life is like in this world that we live in, and you look at people and their lives all around you, maybe you're often asking yourself, what's it all about? What's all this about? Why am I here? Why am I in this world? Why are we in this world as we are? Is it just a freak accident of nature? Is that all it is? Something that just happened by chance? Can it be true that I'm here just by chance because some chemicals came together at a certain point of time? Or is it something more to it? Surely we think to ourselves when we think honestly and we think sincerely and openly, surely you have to say, there must be more to life than just chemicals. I'm such a complex person. Every one of us is such a complex being. I can think, I can reason, I can feel things, and feel things so deeply and so in such a complicated way. Even feelings are such a complex issue. I can create things. I can invent things. I'm able to do so many things. I can love in such a varied kind of way. I can love my spouse in one way. I love my children in another way. I love my friends in another way. It's so varied, isn't it? Life is so, we are so varied as individuals, so complex, so difficult. Psychology tries to understand us, and the study of man tries to understand us. But you cannot fathom us out completely. It can only understand us to a certain degree.
We think so deeply. We distinguish between right and wrong. We come to our conclusions. We get together. We debate about issues, which animals, you never see animals doing that. It's just human beings getting together and saying this is right and wrong, complaining about the situation or things that we live in. This is how we are. We have imaginations that come up with all sorts of things. Everyone has such vivid imaginations. How can it all be by chance, we ask ourselves? And all those memories, we're storing in our brains all those memories from years and years ago. We don't forget them. They're still there. They're still there, recorded in our minds. And so, friends, it's so mysterious, isn't it? It teaches us that we are so complex beings. Well, it's all a mystery, and we wonder about it until we open the Bible. When we open the Bible, then we begin to realize, and the mysteries are unraveled for us, and they're explained for us, and they tell us why we are like this in this world, because of our Creator God, who has made us in this wonderful and unique and complex way. But then another thing to say about our life in this world is that it's short. You don't need me to tell you that, but it's short. It doesn't last very long. Even if you live to 80 or 90, and very few people do these days still, there's no guarantee that you'll make it that far. But even if you live to 80 or 90, well, it's still considered short. And especially when you place it alongside eternity. Life in this world, well, it's like a battery with only one charge. And after that charge has gone from the battery, you can't recharge it again. That's it. Life is like that. Life is like a tube journey. You get on at one stop. Maybe you get on at the very first stop, and you go right to the end, to the very last stop. Well, you have to get off at the end of the journey. It may seem a little bit long, but it's not very long. It's very short, friends. Life, friends, is like having a lease on your life in this world, a lease that maybe lasts for a certain length of time, fixed by the Lord. And when that lease expires, well, you can't renew it, you can't extend it, there's no renewal of it. Once that lease expires, well, the body must die, and the soul must go up to meet its Creator God. This is bound to happen. So life is very short. But then also we can say life in this world is insecure. It's not as safe and secure as we would like it to be. Life in this world is a very fragile thing. It's filled, isn't it, with troubles and difficulties and worries and dangers and disease and all kinds of things. It's even dangerous to cross the road. They say more people die crossing the road than in other kinds of accidents. And so it's insecure in so many ways. A writer, Job, in the Old Testament, he said, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." It's sure to happen. We can't avoid it. We can't avoid a trouble-free life in this life. Life is guaranteed to bring trouble. Our health is not guaranteed. Our relationships are not guaranteed. Nothing is permanent. Things are wearing down. Things are rusting. Things are losing their color. And life itself is insecure for us. We think about how we fall sick. We may escape. Some escape serious illnesses, but not many. Many do not. Some want to avoid economic insecurity. We see that today, especially trying to avoid doing their best, but they cannot. There used to be such a thing as a permanent job. That's no longer around anymore. No such thing, they say, as a permanent job, a job for life. And even if we do find a good job, well, there's so much stress involved in the job, and your manager could be so demanding and over-demanding and bring such pressure upon you with his deadlines and other things that he requires to make life pressurizing and anxious for people. This is our life. Sadly to say, this is our life. Family life is insecure, isn't it? We can never be sure what may happen. That which starts off so happily may end up all of a sudden and sadly. What a sad world. I'm sorry to be so negative, but just to show you really what this life is like without God, without Christ. We live in a very sad world. Bereavement is the saddest of all. When we lose a loved one and somebody that we treasure so very much. But thankfully, friends, God has given us many tokens of his goodness. Even in this fallen world, even in this sad and insecure world, be thankful that not every day is a bad day, a black day, a dark day. We have many bright days when we enjoy God's goodness, and we are thankful for that. But especially, this life should be one of preparation, a preparatory life. This is why God has given us the life, to prepare us for the world that is to come. In the Old Testament, again, a prophet went to King Hezekiah, and he said in Isaiah 38, verse 1, the prophet Isaiah, he said, "Set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." God was giving warning to King Hezekiah to get things right in his life, to prepare himself to die, because arrange everything in effect, he is saying, before you die. Arrange who is going to be the successor to your throne. Arrange who is going to who you're going to hand over all your unfinished business to. Make your will, Hezekiah, so that you can have a nice, smooth transition, as it were, into the world that is to come. And that's what life is about. That's one of the chief reasons for life, purpose of life, to prepare ourselves for the world that is to come. If you're moving to another country, I hope you don't, but if you move to another country, then you have to make a lot of preparation. You have to think about where you're going and the house that you want to buy. You have to make sure you've got accommodation where you're going. You have to arrange for all your goods to be transported, to be shipped across to the new country. Things you need to sort out in the country where you're leaving. You need to sell your property maybe, sort out your finances. All these different things need to be put into place before you leave. So there's a lot to be done to make sure that you have a smooth transition, as problem-free as you can when you move to that country. And it's the same when we're thinking about moving from this world to the next world. We must make our preparations for that world so that we can have a smooth transition from here to glory, to be with God, to be in heaven. Can we do that? Is it possible for me to leave this world in peace, knowing where I'm going? Yes. Yes, friends, it is possible. And this verse tells us how, by having godliness in our lives. Godliness is profitable unto all things. If we have godliness in our life, that's the best preparation. To have reverence for God, to have a respect for God. This is how to live life in this world. This is how to make the best preparation for eternity, by beginning to respect the Lord, by beginning to realize who He is, that He is a holy God, that He is a righteous God, that He is your creator, He is your maker, He is the one that you are accountable to. And you take these things seriously. And when you read His word or you hear His word, we listen to it sincerely. This is what it means to respect God. It's a little bit more than not using his name in vain. Yes, we shouldn't do that. But to respect the Lord is to receive what he is saying in the right way, in the right attitude. To realize that he is God and he can tell me anything because I am accountable to him. And I must respect him because he is so great and wonderful and powerful. And I must listen to him. Oh, friends, godliness here. Talk about our reverence for God. Do I have that reverence for him? Am I living with any attitude to him? Or is it, I don't care what he says. I don't care what God says and what God thinks. I'm not accountable. I'm just going to live my life the way that I want to live it. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. It's up to me. That's what we hear so many people saying. Is that me? Well, that's an irreverent way to live life. Think nothing of God's word, to show no respect to what God has done, no respect to the sacrifice of Christ which he made on Calvary, and to treat it as a light thing or as nothing, just pass by it as not even worthy of attention. Well, that would be so disrespectful considering what a great and wonderful thing Christ was doing. So it's to treat the Lord sincerely and to really take to heart his words. We don't want to play around with God. We don't want to play around with the message that he has given. But we use these things to make our peace with God. That's what we should live this life here for, to make our peace with the Lord. So we come to him and say, Lord, I've not lived right before you. Lord, I've lived in this disrespectful way. I lived in this rebellious way against thee. Have mercy upon me. Lord, I know you're a merciful God. I know what Christ has done on the cross, that Christ came and suffered and died to bear the penalty of our sins, the sins of all who will believe in him. Lord, have mercy upon me for his sake. I deserve to go to hell, Lord. I deserve your judgment, but be merciful to me. That's the way to begin to live life in the right way. Seek him, seek conversion. Oh, friends, the Lord is willing to hear our prayer. Though he is so great and mighty, he hears our prayer. He hears our cry for mercy. He has already forgiven millions of souls. Millions of people have come to believe these things and to know him in a personal way. And it can be the same for you. Reverence. You come to know the Lord. You begin to walk with him in this life. This verse tells us it's profitable for us. It's beneficial for us. How? In what way? Well, God will give you understanding about life. Those questions that you had in your mind, God will answer so many of those questions. Why am I here? What's the reason? What's the purpose of my life? God will explain this. God will teach you. Why is the world in such a mess as it is? Why is there so much arguments and infighting between people? The Word of God will explain it to you. God will illumine you and enlighten you with these things. When you come to him in that right way, he becomes that great teacher who teaches you. You're his pupil. You sit at his feet and you learn from him. This is what he does. Oh, friends, he comes as a help. You have him. You reverence the Lord in your life. You respect him. And you have his help in life. The troubles won't disappear, but you will have his comforts. You will be able to tell him about your concerns. You will be able to open your heart to him, and you will know his care. You will know many answers to prayer in your life. This is how the Lord helps us. He will come near to you. He will no longer just seem like a God who is far away, but a God who is very near, a friend to walk with you through life. Once you begin to live in the right way and with the right attitude to him, he will give you eternal life and an assurance in your heart. Even now, before you leave this world, he will give you an assurance that you have eternal life, and that when you die, You will have that smooth transition. You'll die in peace. And you will know before you go exactly where you're going. Oh, friends, this is what the Lord does for us. This is God's promise to those who will live their lives in the right way before Him and turn to Him. But what about that second life, the life in the next world? What kind of life will that be like that I will experience? But it all depends. It all depends, friends, on how I live my life here. If I've lived with respect for the Lord and I've given my heart and my life to Him, then I can expect heaven to be my life. And I will explain and a little bit about that. But if I've rejected Him, if I've despised His word, and I've said no to Him repeatedly, then I must have my place in hell. Here in this world, well, we're all lumped together. We're all in the same boat, as it were. But in the world to come, there's a separation. There is the believers in heaven, and then the unbeliever, the rejecters of Christ, are in hell. So two different kinds of life in the world that is to come. Well, let's think about a little bit about heaven.
How to describe it? It's what kind of the life is it in heaven? Well, it's a very happy life, of course. It's a life filled with peace, a life that is trouble-free, a life where we are ever learning, where we're learning our knowledge about the world, that new world that God creates is ever increasing upon our minds. And what a joy it is. We all enjoy learning things. In heaven, we will be ever learning friendships, real friendships, the pleasure of having a relationship with every brother and sister in heaven without suspicion, without doubts about the veracity of their love and their trust and their affection as we have in this world. There'll be nothing like that in the world to come. It will just be true, honest friendships. Or there will be the pleasure of love, true love, enjoying the love of God without any hindrance, without any distraction, without any doubts. We will rest in His love forever. And also it'll be a life in that world will be one of adoring God, one of praising a God. Boring? No, it's not boring, friends. That life is one of great joy to the believer. People, we all really adore others, isn't it? We all adore somebody or other. We all have that capacity within us to worship somebody. If it's not God, it's some other person or other thing. But when we direct our, in heaven, we will be directing our adoration to the Lord and getting much pleasure and joy from it. So heaven is not only the absence and the removal of troubles and tears and fears, it is all that, but it is also the enjoyment of some of these things that I have mentioned, and that's just a small part, a happy life, and a life where one knows that those things will never come to an end. They will be forever and ever, eternal life. Spiritual life with the Lord. Well, what about the other place? Those who have disrespected the Lord and rebelled against Him, refused Him, well, they will discover to their shock that all that was said about the Lord in this life was true, that God is true. And they will have to experience an eternal separation from Him. An eternal death, as it were, a living death. How can we speak of these things? They're so terrible that they're the opposite of everything that heaven is beautiful for and wonderful for. There in hell, there is the loss of all happiness. Here, at least amidst our troubles, we have some days of rest. We have some days of peace and joy. But there is no
experience. Every day, every moment is darkness and gloom. Every day brings trouble with it, as it were, and pain. No experience to bring a smile to one's face. No, nothing there to make a person leap for joy in happiness. There's no expression of love from another person in hell. Nothing they can do to cheer you. There's no friend in hell. Don't get it wrong, friends. People say, I want to go to that place because my friends are there. Oh, they don't know what they say. There's no friendship in hell. No one will give you a gift. You can't turn on a TV or some other thing to entertain you, to distract you from your grief. There's no entertainment, no peace in within, no in your conscience, only a troubled conscience, a condemned conscience. Much regret maybe when you realize, oh, all those opportunities I had to turn to Christ, and I never did. Oh, will that be a burden, a trouble forever to souls who rejected Christ? Oh, that tract that was given to me, I threw it out. That friend who invited me to church, I laughed at him. Oh, all these things may come to trouble us. But oh, friends, this is why we tell you these things. This is why God warns us about these things, so that we may avoid ending up in such a place. There we lose all the sense of God's goodness, and we realize that we are separated from Him, the source of every good thing, even that we had in this life, separated from Him eternally. Oh, friends, what a terrible end for those who disrespect the Lord and refuse to yield to Him. Well, come to Him. Come to Him, friends. Use this life. Use the time that you have wisely. Don't let other things distract you. Yes, you have many things to see to in life. Make this a priority in your life. You need the Lord. You need Him for this life. This life in itself is so burdensome to so many. They cannot manage, cannot handle these things. They're so many pressures, and we feel for them. But the Lord can be your help, even in this. Come to Him. Confess your sin. Confess your rebellion. Turn to Him in repentance and faith, and receive Him. Say to Him again, Lord, from this day on, I want to be different. I want to respect You. I want to take You seriously. I want to follow You sincerely. Make me one of Your own. Bless me in this life and in the world that is to come. Receive me forever. And He will hear your prayer. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, again we come before Thee and thank Thee and praise Thee that Thou art merciful to all who will turn to Thee. Lord, bless us, we pray. Draw us again unto Thyself. Come and humble us and help us to see that all our blessings and all that we need for this life and the world that is to come is found in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Bring us to Thyself, we ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. Let's sing together our final hymn, number 403, O Jesus, full of truth and grace, number 403.